This is Mick with National Rock Review. I have Chris Dawson from Seasons After on the phone with me today from Wichita, Kansas. Their new album is about to come out, Calamity, Scars, and Memoirs. How are you doing today, Chris?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
Doing excellent, man. Thank you for taking time to speak with us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yep. So it's been a while since you guys have done anything, kind of took a hiatus. Reflect on where you guys were going to head and got things back together. You have a new singer, Tony Hausch, in the fold now. And you guys have a new album coming out, so tell us what's going on.
Well, we've been working on this record for quite some time, just kind of waiting for our time to get it out and release it. And we kind of got the news early this year that things were good to go on our end, and we went into like full force of picking the songs and getting them recorded. Re-recorded and re-recorded again. Just we had a plan for this, and we wanted it to be perfect. So we took our time to get it done, and now it's actually available now independently through iTunes and Amazon, and I think most of your digital retailers. And the plan now is just to get out there on the road and tour. And try to build this up organically and reconnect with the fans and, you know, just kind of build up to where we left off and then move forward and just spread the word and just keep going.
So you guys have a new singer on this album. Tell us how you guys came to connect with him and what he brings to the table for Seasons After.
Tony Hausch is kind of a no-brainer for us. In the very early days in the conception of Seasons After, he was the first guy that was contacted. I was a fan of a band he was in before, and when we were filling that spot, I contacted him, and it just wasn't, the timing was bad, and he couldn't do it. And throughout the first album cycle through Tomorrow, when things kind of went south with the singer that we had, I contacted him again and basically just begged him to come at least try it out. You know what I mean? Just come see if it's a fit. And after some thinking and lots of talking, he was definitely down to try it out. And he came out and actually helped us just finish touring that first album. You know, he did... several tours with us just to fill in live, and then as soon as we were done, it was a great fit. We wrote a couple of songs right off the bat just to see how we wrote together, and actually those two songs that we wrote right off the bat within the first couple weeks of even talking are two of the songs on the record that are getting some pretty good reviews.
Excellent. I saw that my friends over at Legendary Rock Interviews had just recently released a record review of the album, giving it great acclaim. And I know some of the tracks on the album, like, you know, and I agree with most of their sentiments here. The first track right out the back, Break to Survive, just really gets you going in a modern metal album, man. It's great.
Oh, thanks, dude.
So tell us a little bit about the writing process and some of the songs on this album, what they stand for, and where you guys were mentally and emotionally when you wrote them.
It was kind of all over the place. Our writing process it's a little bit strange. You know, I think on the first record, we did a lot of stuff where we'd write the music and we'd jam like a band does, and you'd kind of fill in the vocals later. But with everything that we were going through, we were in a little bit of a dark place. So a lot of everything was really driven by the lyric and the content and what the song meant. And so we had several different writing styles. You know, sometimes there'd be some great music or riffs, and then we would use those riffs to comprise a song. Or, you know, sometimes we'd steal riffs and put them in other songs. But a lot of the stuff was very lyrically driven. Like, we tried our best to write the music around the lyrics so we were able to capture the message of all the songs the best that we possibly could.
Cool. You guys have the addition of an acoustic guitar track on this album as well. What led you to kind of break up the pulse of this album, so to speak, and toss that in there?
Well, it's actually kind of funny. When we first came off the road and we started writing with Tony, we wrote upwards of 40 plus songs. And when we were deciding, we finally got the news we could put this record out. It was going back. You know, we knew the theme of the record. You know, we wanted to kind of put together a chronicle of what we went through, those kind of dark days of the hiatus, and, you know, what we were going through, just to kind of, so we could reflect on that. And that one track that you're speaking of was a little bit of an oddball on there. But it was a song that was, that all of us love, that we were like, you know what, that has to go on the record. You know, it's kind of the lone ballad, and every band should probably have one, I guess. But we all really liked the song, and we felt it deserved to be on the record.
And the song in question is called It's All Right.
Yeah, and it doesn't stray too far from the theme of the record. A lot of the songs reflect on, you know, what we went through, and not only as a band and individuals, but how everything affected our immediate families and the people around us. You know, if you're going through anything major in your life, it affects the people closest to you. You know, and so that song, I think that song still fits into the theme of everything pretty well.
You guys found some success back in the day. You know, about four or five years ago, you were on Warped Tour, Taste of Chaos, the Rockstar Energy Mayhem Festivals, playing with some huge bands. Is there any plans to get you guys back on the festival road again soon? What's your plans for the immediate future?
We would like to do all that. I mean, next year, I think, is going to be, we're hoping that that's the year that this album really hits and takes off for us. We're still in the early stages of kind of building the record. As an independent band, we're kind of priding ourselves of doing this independently. You know, in this day and age, in the climate of music, the resources are out there. It's very tough if you don't have like endless pockets and huge bank accounts to do everything. But in today's music business, it's possible to do things independently. It's a lot of work, and you gotta create opportunities. But right now, we're just trying to get the word out there. Let everybody know, hey, we're back. You know, here's the record. Check it out. We're going to do some tours, some headlining tours, some support tours until the first of next year. And then we plan on trying to build the record up as big as possible into next year. So, you know, hopefully when those summer festivals start coming around again next year, we'll be in the hat for some of those. We'll just have to see. It depends on how everybody accepts the record, I guess. But so far it's going really well. So we have high hopes.
Now, as an independent band, you guys have had some success. You had a music premiere, a video premiere on song My Last Words on Revolver Mag, and that's, you know, no chump change there.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately for us, I think we still have a little bit of the recognition from what we did on the first record, and we did a lot of touring, and we tried our best to get our name out there and bring it live and just make a name for ourselves before. So even though we had that downtime, I think that people are still curious of what we're doing and what the plan is. So we're very fortunate that coming back with this record, there's enough interest in the band and enough people that still care about us to help us out, you know, whether it's premiere a video or spin a song, or, you know, people like yourselves that want to do an interview or review the record or all that kind of stuff. So we're very fortunate and we're super excited about it.
What has changed for you over the past 4 or 5 years since you've been, you know, sort of laying in wait as a person, a musician, a businessman in the music industry?
That's a really good question. I think that we all take this, we have a lot more pride in this, and we take it a lot more serious after everything that we went through. And this just means the world to us. I don't know that I've ever put anything into a project like what we did with this record. you know, trying to put it out independently, recording it, self-producing it. I mean, we have done everything for this album in-house, and we've all worked our tails off to get it, to get where we are today. Everything that we've had to go through, we've got a lot on the line with this, and it's really important to us, and we've learned a lot over the last few years about the music business and about production and everything that it takes to do this. You know, that's what we've kind of been doing over the last few years, is just building this up to where we could potentially go out and make a real run at this independently.
Well, you guys have been doing some smaller touring around the Midwest region, like around Kansas and Idaho and stuff like that. What's the furthest you guys have gone and touring in the past few months, and what are some of the spots you're looking forward to returning to in the immediate future?
Well, right now we're just kind of getting our feet wet with that, with the shows. We did a CD release. It's kind of a official, unofficial release of the record. We wanted to get it out and let the fans know that the record is out and that you can pick it up at shows and digitally. But it's not any serious touring right now. We have a handful of shows. We've played about 3 or 4 shows to date. We have more shows coming up over the next few weeks. And then moving into November and December, we're going to start making some real runs out of everything. But right now we're just getting our feet wet and still trying to build up this machine to what it once was. You know, there's a lot that goes into the touring as far as the gear and, you know, your traveling and all that stuff. So it's not something you just jump into. You got to test the waters a little bit and make sure that you got everything in order so you don't get out there and just fall on your butt and come home.
But tell me a little bit about the music metal scene in Wichita and the Kansas area there. A lot of people look at the Midwest as flyover country, when in reality, so many of the most awesome rock and metal bands are coming out of the center of this country these days.
Yeah, there's a lot of great bands here. There's a lot of talented musicians all through the Midwest. I've always said that, you know, when you're out there touring, you're playing a lot of shows, there's opening bands and there's bands that you'll open for. They have, you know, bigger draws than you do in their local area. And in the Midwest, there's something about it. I've talked to some friends about this before, and I think it has something to do with maybe there's not a whole lot to do. There's not a whole lot to see. So if somebody has a passion for playing an instrument or writing music, it's really easy to just dive into it and let it consume you, because there's not a whole lot of distractions. You know, there's not a million things to do or a million things to see, so you're able to just dive in and really hone in on your craft. And when it comes to playing in a band, I mean, that's, you just do it day in, day out, and that just like breeds tons of great musicians and bands. And so it's pretty full. If you come around anywhere in the Midwest, it's full of amazing musicians and really talented bands. And I see a lot of them all the time that I feel like if they were in a bigger city or something, they would have a little bit better chance. That's one of the harder things about being in the Midwest. There's not a whole lot of eyes looking at you, but unfortunately, this is where a lot of the better bands are, in my opinion.
Have you guys ever had a chance to play Dirt Fest up here in Michigan, up in Birch Run?
It sounds really familiar. I feel like we have, or another outdoor concert called Dirt Fest that might not have been that one. It was several years ago, like 5 years ago. But it does sound really familiar.
Just curious, it's one of the biggest one-day rock metal festivals here in the Midwest, produced here locally in Michigan. It's a showcase for not only, you know, regional acts from the Midwest and national acts, but also a chance for a lot of the local acts to get on stage and play before thousands of people. And it's, to me, I mean, it's just the Midwest showcase of rock and roll and metal, man. I mean, it's an incredible time. 5-6 stages, like 80 bands, just nonstop. Whoa. All day.
That's definitely a jam-packed event.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll get to see you guys next year. We'll see you at the machine shop up in Flint, maybe.
Oh, yeah, we plan on getting back there as soon as possible.
Sure. Are there any other clubs that really stick out in recent time that you guys just cannot wait to get back to? Obviously, everybody loves the Machine Shop. That's home away from home for a lot of bands. Well, what other places that you guys just love playing?
There are so many venues across the country that are great venues that it's hard to narrow them down. Machine Shop is definitely one of the highest rated in my opinion of places to play. The people there are great. They have a great system of the radio works with the club, and then the people with they just have a system put together that it makes for a great scene in the market for music in general. You know, when everybody works together like that, it makes for a great music scene. And I wish more people would figure out what they're doing and do it elsewhere. And there are a lot of places that do, you know, Madison, Wisconsin, and Spokane's, and Denver. There's a lot of places that have great rock and metal scenes still today with the help of stations and great venues that work together with their stations and, you know, the listening audience for that station. So,
certainly. So going back, another question. So you guys did a cover of Cry Little Sister. Have you ever given any consideration of doing another cover song for an album? Maybe like The Birds, Turn, Turn, Turn? Kind of like fits the moniker of Seasons After.
I don't know. I mean, it's a tough question because it's not out of the question, but it's not something we're focusing on right now. I think that we have enough original material. The whole thing with that, with the cover song on that, was when we were doing that first record, it was something that we're like, you know, our first band, you know, this is the first record. We weren't signed at the time, so there was no pressure or anything from anybody to say, hey, you should do this cover song. We think it would do well at radio or people latch onto it. You know, we were unsigned and we were doing that record, and it was something that all of us truly thought was just really cool. You know, so we did our own, you know, arrangement of it and we put it on the record, and we were real stoked about it, and our fan base really liked it. And then getting signed and then having them take it to radio and it blowing up like that was something we didn't plan on happening. So there's a bit of a stigma with a band with a cover song. So I think for now we're going to just stick to just focusing on our material, and unless we get another overwhelming urge to do another song that really sticks out like that, I mean, we may. Who knows?
Certainly. Chris Dawson, Seasons After, new album is out, Calamity, Scars and Memoirs. Get it on iTunes and other digital distribution outlets. You guys are going to be going back on tour very soon. Thank you so much for taking time to speak with myself and National Rock Review today, and we look forward to catching you guys on tour very soon.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
You too. Later.